Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Appreciate the song, the spirit, the truth. Glad that I'm a child of the King. Confess to be a good one, but I'm glad I am one. Amen. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would open this truth unto us as a treasure that we know not its value or its worth. We pray that you would, Lord, reveal unto us its great power this night. We trust in this, for we need it. Plant it in our heart, and may it change us, transforming us, each one, into what you'd have us to be. We ask this as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 6. Is where our text will come from tonight as we continue our study of the Beatitudes. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In context for us, just a reminder, he began this series, and we'll go through the next 2 to 3 chapters. Jesus, as Matthew records it for us, gives a great discourse on multiple things. And I hope he'll let us view them all. But he begins the message, the Sermon on the Mount, with what we call the Beatitudes. I don't know that they referred to it as that. I don't know that it's the right way to refer to them as that. But regardless, he said in the beginning, blessed are the poor in spirit, those that truly are humble. Blessed are those that mourn. There we find the broken and are reminded that the very thing that the psalmist David recorded in Psalms 51 was that the sacrifices of God are a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So it certainly lines up with what Christ would here say as he begins the Sermon on the Mount and says, blessed are the broken of heart and the contrite of spirit. Number 3, blessed are the meek, those of the gentle spirit who are in control and able to stay there. And then number 4, we find blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. As I thought about this, as I looked and referred to what Matthew Henry said concerning this particular beatitude, he referred to righteousness as all true spiritual blessings. As I thought about that, I thought about using it. It certainly fits. But I don't want to leave the word righteousness. It's important, it's extraordinary throughout Scripture, And you'll find that righteousness and unrighteousness are both things that Christ used often. And so I'd like to stick with the term righteousness, but ask that you remember what it means. And so we'll do our best to start there tonight and to share with you what righteousness truly means. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, righteousness is the state commanded by God. It is, in every sense, the standing the test of his judgment. Being righteous. Not according to man's standard, but according to God's standard. Big difference between those two. Man lets things slide. God does not. Regardless of what we think about it, when God says he's righteous, he is righteous. In every sense of the word, righteous. And he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness. So we must understand what righteousness means. And if truly from the Old Testament and the New Testament, we find clearly the definition of righteousness is in reference to a state of being that when tested within the judgment of God passes. Then we would have to all admit that within ourselves we are not righteous. We are unrighteous. Yeah. Because we cannot measure to the standard of perfection in which God requires. That was the problem, you see. He gave the law. The law was not the error. The problem was that we couldn't keep the law. And in every way, men tried to justify themselves in the keeping of parts of the law. And exclude the fact that they missed the others. And yet with God, there is not a part, but only the whole. You see, God can't receive me partly righteous. Because partly righteous, by definition, is unrighteous. Yeah. In every sense of the term, it is unrighteous if I am not completely and wholly perfect under God. His requirement is that the test being given unto me passes his judgment, and only those that are born again in Christ can say that they are truly righteous. And not righteous of ourselves, but righteous because Christ has given us that state of being. And so let's look and make certain within our own heart that we're righteous. The Old Testament and the New Testament declare clearly that God's righteousness is far past that of man. And so seeing this, we must confess that we have no ability to obtain the righteousness of God within ourselves. Oh, how man tries. You'd think we'd have figured out by now as a society or as a people that you cannot attain perfection apart from Jesus Christ himself, and yet they try. Church goes on every Sunday, every Wednesday, all the time. There are people that are gathering and they're doing so trying to be righteous, thinking that somehow they have merited the favor of God, or that in some way they have done something that has earned for them the position of holiness and righteousness. But let's be clear, there has been never a man walk on this earth save Jesus Christ who was sinless but him. You and I have never, never, not one day even, been perfect. And so none are righteous, no, not one. And yet what he says here is that is the righteousness that is found through hungering and thirsting for it that will bring the full satisfaction of our soul. Blessed are they, fully satisfied are they, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus told them, I read to you this morning in Matthew chapter number 6. Jesus said to them, therefore take no thought, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or wherewithal we shall be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But listen to what he said. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek it. You say, I thought you said I had it in Christ. You do. And yet we find that the Lord Jesus himself, here again in Matthew 6, would say to them, you should be seeking the righteousness of God. I want to share with us tonight the foundation of righteousness itself and make certain that we know where it comes from and the importance of us continuing to seek it. So how do we obtain righteousness from God? Can we work for it? Is it earned? No. Clearly, you'll find in the scripture that the righteousness of Jesus Christ was imputed, meaning that it was simply given to me, or in essence was traded for my unrighteousness. And as I refer to this, I want to be careful that we're specific to the soul, because where the righteousness of Christ was imputed to was to the inner man, to that part that he saved, dwells the righteousness of God. You say then, preacher, that what you're saying is that the inner man is perfect. Yes, that is exactly right. The inward man has been purged completely from sin. According to the scripture, washed and made as white as snow. Now that's the inward man. I want to read to you from Romans chapter 4, if you'll turn with us there. Open your Bible and turn with us to Romans chapter 4. I want to begin at just verse number 19 and read to you concerning the righteousness that is imputed. Ultimately, it's the same righteousness that we're going to preach on tonight or are. But we have to understand that there is a righteousness that is imputed, and then there is a righteousness that is sought. A righteousness that we seek. Romans chapter number 4, verse number 19, and being not weak in the faith. He was talking about Abraham, who considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, what brought the righteousness? Faith. And what brings the righteousness for you and I? Faith. It is by faith that we believe in Jesus Christ, and as righteousness was imputed to Abraham because of faith, it is also imputed to you and I. Here's how we know. Verse number 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if you believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So what's he saying? The righteousness of Jesus Christ is a gift that is given to those who will believe. That's why it's absolutely imperative that you be born again. Right? There's not an alteration or a substitution for being saved. Religion will not get you there, because the transaction of righteousness from God unto your own heart will never occur within the simple workings of our own heart. Will not find the place where there is truly the great transaction of God's righteousness being imputed into our soul until we are born again. That's the reason that religion can't get you to heaven. It's the reason that simply being a member of a church can't get you into heaven. That baptism won't deliver you from hell. None of these things are the answer. You must be born again. Because it is only in this great faith transaction, believing in the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, that allows the purging of our sin, the opening of the inner man, of the extraction of all that is corrupt, and the replacing with all that is good. The righteousness of Jesus Christ must be imputed in you, or you're still undone. And so for the children of God today, that is how we say. See, we don't declare that we're saved forever based upon something that we've done. We declare that we are always saved because the righteousness of Jesus Christ has replaced my own. For according to the scripture, my righteousness was never any more than but filthy rags in the sight of God. You see, the very best I could do was worthless. Nothing but a discarded thing to God. What it had to be was a plan that would trade my condition for His. And that was the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the righteousness that's imputed. And may I say today, for the born again, that is the foundation to which everything else is built on. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. What a wondrous gift. I don't know how you explain it, but because Abraham believed, he got it. It was given to him. He didn't know what he needed, but that's what he received. It was the righteousness of God. It was imputed to Abraham. And so when God looked at Abraham, he didn't see the former, but he saw the latter. He saw the one to whom righteousness had been given. So when God looked at Abraham, he saw the righteousness. Thanks be unto God when he looks at me. He sees Jesus. Because in my heart have been imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It cannot leave. It can't be taken away. It can't be destroyed or hindered. The righteousness is there because of faith. It is that transaction of being born again that brings the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hear me. If the righteousness of Christ doesn't abide within you, you're still lost. You're lost. The indictment today is that we believe, because in believing we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, that is a righteousness that, honestly, I didn't have anything to do with the transaction other than just believing that Jesus Christ died for me and rose again. And in believing, it was given unto me. And from that day forward, I have been, as was sung to us, a child of God, a child of the King. And when he looks at me, he sees not my own righteousness, but he sees the righteousness that was given unto me. He's not looking at the flesh, he's looking on the inward man. And from that, the righteousness of God abides and will ever abide. And so that's righteousness on the inside. So what was Jesus referring to then? If what he said was in this particular declaration was, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And again, in Matthew chapter 6:33, he would say the same thing. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Right? He was placing upon you and I a responsibility to seek the righteousness of God in our everyday life. What did he mean? For truly the righteousness that is of Christ is one that is imputed to me through simply believing in Christ. And I have received it, and the transaction is final. It is complete. I never have to receive the righteousness of Christ again. So what is Christ referring to? What does he mean? When he said, blessed are they, fully satisfied is the soul that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And all of these other things will be added unto you. We find clearly that what Jesus is saying is their responsibility for us to desire that condition of being right. How many know and understand that though he lives in me, I'm not always right with him? There are times when I separate or break communion or fellowship with Christ who lives in me. Thanks be unto God, he never leaves me. Amen. That's the imputed righteousness. that is anchored and forever steadfast, a new creature in Jesus Christ. And yet I dwell in the flesh. And the flesh is forever a hindrance and a confrontation to the inward man. The Apostle Paul called it a warfare between the inward man and the outward man. The things that I once loved, I now hate from the inward man. The things I once hated, I now love. The inward man, you see, has a nature of its own, a nature of Christ Jesus within us, and it is contrary to the flesh. How many would confess that every time you want to do something that is right or good or for God, there is an evil present? There is a hindrance in our flesh. There is something within our nature that causes us to want to go the other way. What it says in the scripture is that my flesh is enmity to God. It is the enemy. It is the very confrontation that God came to save still dwells in my flesh. And it is a constant battle, a warfare, one that is so horrific and terrifying at times that the Apostle Paul would cry out, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, wretched man that I am." And yet all the while the Apostle Paul had the imputed righteousness of Christ inside him, and yet found that the battle between the flesh and the soul never ceased. Never ceased. You see, the flesh ain't going to heaven. Anybody glad of that? The flesh ain't going to heaven. It's the soul. I tell you, I'll have a body when I get to heaven, but it will have been changed. According to the scripture, the corrupted will be turned into the incorruption, mortal to immortal. That which is flesh will be glorified. And that's what's going to heaven. A new body. We're talking about the righteousness that is to be sought, searched for. According to Jesus, an appetite. Right? Everybody's familiar, well familiar with what it means to be hungry. Every day you get hungry. Most of us anyway. Every day we get hungry. Every day our body is thirsty. It tells us by nature that we need to drink something. We need to eat something. It is a natural part of the flesh to feed it and to give it drink. And I can assure you, if you deprive it of both of those things, you will not exist. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Admitting that the righteousness of Christ lies within me and I am never apart from His righteousness. And when God sees me, He is looking at the righteousness of Christ. What Christ is saying to you and I is that there is a personal responsibility for me to hunger above everything else the things that are of God in my flesh. To bring under flesh this under subjection the flesh that I live in, to bring myself in a humble and a broken condition and desire the things that are of God. That's where Matthew Henry got his definition that righteousness in this sense meant spiritual blessing. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for the spiritual things. The things that are of God, the things that are contrary to your nature. You might write this off and you may say, "Well, I simply cannot, or I don't have time for." May I say to you today, blessed are they. Those that are truly satisfied are in this world, or those who commit their time and their effort, who put the appetite, the hunger, and the thirst for their own flesh toward the things of God. That's where we miss it. Is that we yield our flesh to its own desires and its will, and we feed it all of the things that simply satisfy the lust of its own self for a moment. And then what all the while what Jesus is saying is to seek righteousness. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness are the spiritual things of God. How many would say today, every time I come to the house of God and the Spirit of God is present and I yield myself to that Spirit, that I leave satisfied? There is a feeling that comes. Not a feeling, but a filling. A pouring into the cup until it runs over. The spiritual things of God. Yes, their enmity to the flesh. The flesh doesn't want to yield to the things of God. It doesn't want to get up on Sunday morning. It doesn't want to come back on Sunday night. And yet within the soul, there is a desire for God that exceeds the power of the flesh. And it brings us to that place where we experience not only from the soul, but within ourselves the righteousness of Christ. People are desperate for satisfaction and peace. Yeah. They're looking in their heart for the thing that can bring them hope and satisfy of the endless suffering of the mind in this world. Yeah. And yet all the while what they need is to be right with God. You ever tried to close your eyes and sleep when your heart was contrary to God? When you were not right. We've all been there. We've all experienced that turmoil in the soul when we're not living right. When we're not walking right. We're not talking right. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness." I cannot manufacture it. It must be sought. See, every day I get up and I work for a living. And you know why I do that? Primarily so we don't starve. That's the bottom line. So we have somewhere to sleep, something to wear, something to drive. Something to eat. I get up every day with those natural, right? It should be natural within a man to provide those things for his home. It should be common. I realize we live in a society where things ain't normal anymore, but it should be. Yet what Jesus said is in the same sense that you provide for the flesh that you dwell in, those very things you need. Everybody didn't see that. He turned a flip right up into the floor. Oh, Lord, help me. Where was I? We work hard to make sure we eat, don't we? I doubt that many of you skip meals. Unless it was on purpose, right? Otherwise, you're there. But somebody had to earn that. Right? Somebody had to go buy it. Right? I get it now where you can call it up and sometimes they'll even deliver it, but not where I live. Somebody had to do something in order for us to be fed that day. Jesus worked from the same premise that abides in the flesh. That is natural to man to provide those things that physically that we have to exist. And Jesus said, oh, but blessed are they. Yeah, I get it, he said, that you're going to hunger every day, every few hours. Your flesh will say it's time to eat something again. Every little bit, your body will thirst and you will reach out for some kind of sustenance to drink. And yet Jesus said, more important than that is those things that I have for you. You say this isn't really relevant at all, but hear me. We eat three times a day, but we don't go to God but once a week sometimes. That is where the problem is. What he was trying to do was to tap in to those things they could grasp. He said, look, these are things that are as common as you eating and drinking, the desire in your flesh. He said, but your soul should hunger and thirst for the spiritual things, the things that are of God, the things that will satisfy the inward man. You see, it's enough to get you to heaven, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. I needed to say that so you didn't misunderstand me. But it's not enough to receive Christ and then sit down and do nothing else. It is not enough. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for the spiritual things, the things that are of God, the things that truly satisfy the soul. That's the man that's blessed. The heart is truly satisfied when we seek that place of righteousness, that place where we have yielded ourselves unto God to receive not only the spiritual blessings, but the renewing of our mind, the hope in the soul. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after being right. Hunger and thirst are appetites. There are things that occur naturally in the flesh. Now, I'm going to make a statement to you, and I believe it with all of my heart to be true. Within the child of God, there should naturally be a hunger for Christ. What impairs your hunger? Right? What people do when they're trying to lose weight is they try to suppress the appetite. And so they take things or drink things or do things that simply cause the appetite to go away. And I'd say that there's plenty of those things spiritually that we do that cause the appetite for God to just dissipate, go away. What Jesus is saying is, no, there should be a natural hunger, a longing for Christ. You see, it's one thing, Alfred, to say, I'm saved, I'm good to go. I'm going to sit down and wait till he calls. No, Jesus said, that's not the blessed man. No, the one that's fully satisfied in this present world is the one that hungers and longs for righteousness. He longs for Christ. And every day, there is a natural appetite spiritually that draws us back to God. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after this. He started with the contrite of spirit, poor in spirit, and then went quickly to those that mourn, the brokenhearted. Oh, the purpose of being broken and contrite. This is the sacrifice that God accepts. Being broken and contrite ushers us into the presence of God. And oh, blessed, he said, are they that are meek, that are gentle in spirit, and those that can yield themselves to the purpose of God. But then he said, listen, but every day there should be a common hunger for Christ, a looking for him, a longing for him, an appetite that comes from what's on the inside. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness. There ought to be a willingness in our soul. I'm going to close. But there ought to be a willingness in our soul to seek that place that is just right. Nobody has to tell me when I'm not right. There is an alarm going off inside me when I'm not right with God. I know that. I don't need really anybody to tell me. Sometimes you gotta help people with the truth. Not me. Not most of the time anyway. There was a natural longing in my soul to have more of Jesus. I don't want to miss a service. Because what I know at every service, every one, there is a spiritual blessing he brings for me. It ain't his. It's not his. It's mine. I believe that. I know that by experience, that every time that I come with an intent in my heart, hungering and thirsting for Christ, he feeds me. Oh, how satisfying are his meals. So satisfying to the soul that we leave this place full. Now, just like having ate a huge meal, I'll tell this story just because it has never left my mind. You guys didn't know Charles Goodson, but he was a mess. He was a character. We had a big dinner after church, and he was sitting there, and he was a big man, but he had a big belly. And he looked at me and he said, "Preacher, if I always felt this way, I'd never eat again." I thought of that. That's true. If you were always full, you would never try to eat. See, there was a truth in that. What I guarantee you was he ate again the next day. It didn't matter how much he ate the day before, he ate again the next day. He drank more the next day. When Jesus said to seek righteousness, he was referring to not the status of the permanent status of the soul. He was seeking the satisfaction that can be given while here. And he said, this must be sought for every day. Here's the problem. Right? We know it's true. People will come on Sunday morning and think, that'll do me till next Sunday. That's disturbing. That you can go that long without the spiritual. You wouldn't go one day without a meal. Not unless you were fasting on purpose, right? You wouldn't go that day without drinking. Fasting or not. And yet we deprive ourselves of the spiritual blessings that he absolutely will pour out on you every single day. But you know what you got to do to get it? The same way as you know you're going to get a meal when you go home, somebody had to go get it. Somebody had to prepare. Somebody had to recognize that there is a need that I will have. And in order to fill that need, I must seek it. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for the spiritual things, the righteousness, the good things of God. Do you ever read in a scripture where he said, you can only have this much? Anybody ever read that part? And yet the problem we have in the flesh is we only want this much. Yeah. It's because the things of God are enmity to the flesh. Because what the flesh knows is in order for me to get those good things from God, I've got to sacrifice it. I've got to get up and come back on Sunday night. I've got to put something aside while I kneel in prayer on Monday morning. And be broken once again. And humble of spirit. That I might receive from God the spiritual blessings. Tell me you know what I'm talking about. When you commit time and you actually pray and you seek God, how many would say, I never get anything out of it? No, it's not true. You know it's not true. You know when you seek God, your soul is enlarged with His blessing. The spiritual goodness of God that is poured out upon us, and there is no limit. It's like a buffet on a cruise ship. It never closes. Any time of the day, you can eat from God's table. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek that. All this other stuff, He said, that'll be added. You don't have to worry about the food and the clothing and the shelter. He said, the Gentiles worry about all that. He said, your Father has promised you all that. No, He said, worry about those things that are spiritual in nature. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. All right, we'll close with this, as we have with the other three so far. The blessing is both for now and eternal. Yeah. Right? That's what Jesus is saying in each one of these statements. Blessed are they now and coming. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I shouldn't have to say very much about this. I've already said a lot. But the extraordinary blessing, this extraordinary satisfaction with having been with Jesus every day, it's hard to explain. Seek Him now. You want to be satisfied in your soul? You want to be satisfied in your walk with God? Seek Him every day, and you will experience that joy, that satisfaction, that overwhelming renewance every single day. You will experience it right now. You will experience the joy of Christ. That's now. Blessed are they now that seek hunger and thirst after Christ. But there is also a future promise. He said, for they shall be filled. There's a forever satisfaction that's coming. Now, the opportunity to experience God comes in segments. As I hunger and as I thirst for Christ and seek Christ, I receive Christ in those satisfying ways. But there'll be a day when I cross that it will be forever. Can you imagine that? I cannot. I'm trying, but I cannot fathom how wonderful it will be to be fully, fully satisfied. Never to be hungry spiritually again. That's heaven. No sin, no suffering, no dying, no flesh, No, when I get to heaven, it will be full eternally. What a wondrous truth. Can't fathom it. Come get a song. What a wondrous truth. There's a day coming when my soul will be absolutely full forever with Jesus. Glory. Glory to His name. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst. Their appetite, though the flesh longs for the world, their appetite for God is greater than the flesh. And so they force the flesh to subject to the will of God. And they seek God in a way that suddenly there are spiritual blessings that are flowing to them. Your soul is satisfied only by Christ. And the more we seek Him, the more we get Him. Put aside the things of this world, right? Why don't you just sell out to God right now and say, I'm gonna hunt God more tomorrow than I did today. I'm going to seek God tomorrow as much as I did on Sunday. You'll find that God is plenteous everywhere you find him. He will fill you up every time you seek him. Stand as we sing. Be blessed today, fully satisfied in Christ.